Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my mans, The Professor. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother? What's happening?
Nothing much. Man, we've been chilling for a little bit, long break, a little hiatus, you know what I'm saying?
A little vacation,
you know, get centered, get some good news to bring back to you folks. So we appreciate you bearing with us as we get up this new thing. We updated the format a little bit, so we're gonna have some fun today and go through it. So let's do it.
Let's get it.
All right. So first up, let's talk about the weekend box office weekend just passed. And we got the top three movies out for this weekend. We got Rampage starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Rounding out the weekend, I think this was his debut weekend as well. So it's made $35.7 million opening weekend. Then second place we have A Quiet Place, which is a horror film starring what's the guy's name? John something. Emily Blunt's guy. He was on The Office.
Emily Blunt and John. Krasnick or something like that.
Yeah,
I forget exactly how to pronounce it, but it's like Krash Krasnick or something. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Looks like
we're speculating. They think he could be Reed Richards coming up sometime soon.
Nice. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Yeah, I know he was originally. Wasn't he originally up for Cap at one point?
I believe he was.
Yeah,
I believe he was. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So hopefully he gets back into MCU in that way, shape, or form, because I could appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, A Quiet Place is, that's a movie that he, I believe, wrote and directed, I want to say.
I don't know. I think he's probably right, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be very good.
I heard it was great. And this is like a second week out. So, and it's making like $32.9 million. So that's good for a second week. Definitely a horror film. Solid second week. Looking forward to seeing more from him, because if the reviews are, you know, if the movie's anything like the reviews say that it is, then it's definitely worth a look, and he's definitely going to be a contender as a producer moving forward.
And then, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the last movie rounding out the third spot is Truth or Dare. By Universal, $18.6 million. It came out on its debut, which is solid for a horror film.
It just looks terrible.
Yeah, it looks weird. Like it creeps me out. Like, I don't know. I'm not a big horror fan, but I don't know.
But it's like I watch the commercials and I think I get the premise just from what the commercials are.
Yeah.
You know, it's kids playing Truth or Dare and they have to do the dares or they're gonna die. But like, okay, then why are you daring each other to do things that'll physically hurt each other?
Well, see, here's what I heard is like, the catch. The catch is that they do challenge each other to truth or dare, and they have to do the truth or they have to do the dare. Or what happens is a trickster god possesses them, makes them kill themselves, and then asks somebody. Well, before they do that, asks somebody else the truth or dare. I think that's what it is.
Oh, so it's the trickster that's asking the truth or dare.
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, it's just stupid. If something is forcing you to kill each other playing truth or dare, just, you know, I dare you to blink at me. Like, why would you just do something stupid like that?
Right, yeah.
So I'd have to actually read more about the movie, but it just looked like one of those cheesy, you know, low-budget kind of horror flicks.
Yeah. Them teeny bopper, you know, horror flicks where it's more like, about skin than story, so.
Skin and just over the top, not even over the top cartoonish gore like an Evil Dead or something. Over the top, we want to make this as gross as possible. Like every Saw movie since number 2, you know. Which, that's a shame, because that first Saw movie is amazing.
Yeah,
the one after that.
That's what
2
I've been
was
hearing.
Okay, but the rest of them after that
sucked. Oh, man, did you get a chance to see, what was it? They did, like, an origin for Saw?
Oh, like the last one?
Yeah.
I think. I didn't bother, unfortunately. The shame of it is I like the guy who played the main bad guy in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the actor's name, but he plays Jigsaw. You know, the guy who becomes Jigsaw. He's a decent actor, but and the first one, like I said, the first one's a really good, like, psychological thriller type horror movie. Like, a lot of the violence in the first one is really implied. There's not a lot of gore in the first one that I remember. The second one, they started to get a little more edgy with some of the gore and a little more in your face about it. And then, like, everyone after that was just, we're going to just do anything we can to make people sick in the theater. And they're just stupid. They're just terrible. Like, I think that psychological thrillers, like, Quiet Place is kind of supposed to be more like that, or better in the long run than just, you know, hey, here's a, you know, we're going to cut this guy's arm off and show you it bleed all over the place.
Right.
That's nasty, and that's going to make people sick.
Yeah. You
know, it's just, But, you know, look, I watched all the commercials and thought Rampage looked terrible too, but either it's a decent movie or all you got to do is put The Rock in a marquee and you're going to sell tickets, which is probably a little combination of both.
Yeah. I mean, it took him a long while to get here, but like now that he's here, like he literally ups the sales of the movies that he's in. Cause we'll go into this a little bit later where we'll talk about video game adaptations and why they can't seem to really do well in the theaters. But, you know, this is The Rock's second video game movie attempt. And we all remember Doom. So, yes, I do. So, this is a big deal for him to be making leaps and bounds, at least over his first attempt. So, you know,
I do think it's interesting now that this movie has done really well on its opening weekend. All of a sudden, the Black Adam movie is being pushed into production sooner. Maybe you should have done that a year or two ago when you first signed the guy on there.
Yeah, instead of sitting there wasting his time.
Yeah.
But that's all right. One thing The Rock is going to do is work.
That's truth. There's no doubt about that. That's the truth.
Oh, man. So let's get into some geek news of the week. Got a couple of items here. I'm going to streamline it a little bit. Just pick up the biggest things that I've noticed over the past couple of weeks. So first up on TV, we got some Titans. DC's Titans. We got some set photos here. Got photos of Beast Boy, Raven, Starfire, and Dick Grayson. So, or aka the Robin or Nightwing, depending on where you are in the timeline. So, we'll just tell you what our thoughts are. I'll start off right off the bat. I'm really digging the photos. I think there's not really much I can surmise from the photos because, I mean, we got to remember, like, we haven't even gotten a trailer yet, so we don't know if these are just the rough copies before we get the post work done. You know what I'm saying? So we don't know if there's, like, are they using some kind of technology to cloak how they look, especially characters like Raven, you can kind of get away with it. She's going to be pale skin. But, like, Beast Boy is green skin, and Starfire is traditionally, she's got bright orange skin. So,
right. So
the question is, are they going to change them for the adaptation? Which in my opinion, works, because it's just like, I mean, either there's going to be an insane amount of time that these characters are going to be spending in makeup, or there's going to be an insane amount of money that's going to be spent to maintain CGI for these guys. And it's just like, do you really want to do that, especially when you're releasing this show via a streaming service? You know what I'm saying? So there's not a lot of kickback. You're probably getting a lot of money from advertisers, but this is for all intents and purposes, this is going to be like a Netflix, you know what I'm saying? Like a fledgling Netflix. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what we get as far as teasers and trailers are concerned. Maybe some posters and whatnot, but I'm really liking the cast. I'm liking the cast. I think the cast is strong, and I'm looking forward to seeing what DC does with their Titans characters and with their stream of service in general.
Sure. I will admit up front, I'm not a big Titans guy. I don't know a whole lot about them. I know some of the characters. The pictures are interesting. The third picture of if that is Dick Grayson, Robin, looks a little like they copied too much of Gotham. As far as the character goes to me.
Yeah.
The Starfire one, I don't have a problem with the actress, nothing whatsoever. I think the gear they put her in is a little suspect.
Because it doesn't feel like Starfire at all. Like, I don't know. Well, I don't know how she was in the comics. Was she like over the top like that?
Usually, the only times that I ever saw her in the comics, she was usually wearing very little.
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
So, obviously, they're not going to do that for the TV show, but look, I'm just going to say, this isn't going to be real popular. It's not going to be real. She looks kind of like a streetwalker, the gear that they got her in. Like, maybe not the furry coat and a plastic dress, maybe something a little nicer looking than what they got her in. The hair doesn't even bother me that much, but just the gear just doesn't.
Yeah, the gear.
And look, the gear maybe it's weird. Temporary. Maybe it's only something that's going to be there for an episode and gone. They'll change something different, but. Doesn't look very superhero-y in this particular picture to me, anyway.
I think it'll be funny if they do it and set it up like a scene where, like, all right, we need to get on the street and find out, you know, information about such and such. So, look normal. Go out, get your clothes, and look as normal as you can. And Starfire comes out. And that would be hilarious.
All right, that would be kind of funny. I will give it to you. If that's their plan, that would be kind of funny. And look, you can't tell from a still, right? The still picture, you can only tell certain so much.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't look right to me, that particular still. So I think you got to get my girl some different gear there and move things along.
I know, yeah.
Who knows? It's not out yet. We'll find out.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get a trailer or a poster or something soon. But set photos, I know set photos are not the most ideal when these shows are trying to showcase the hard work that they've been doing, because this is right. Kind of like capturing moments behind the scenes in between takes, so you don't really get the full effect. So hopefully we'll get some more down the line, but yeah, those are our initial thoughts on Titans. I'm excited about Titans. I'm a big fan of Teen Titans. Really like the animated series that was on, and then Young Justice came on, which was kind of Teen Titan-esque. The Teen Titans movies and the new DC animated universe, they look great. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this unfolds. So we'll keep you posted. All right, so next up in TV, a little bit of news. A little bit of news as far as services are concerned. Big move by Comcast. Basically, what they're saying is they're going to be bundling Netflix with their subscription. So if you sign up for Comcast, you're going to get a Netflix subscription included in your package, I guess. And then Hulu is discounting the HBO add-on to $5 a month, which is great news for your boy, because I got Hulu, so I'm definitely adding this. I'm getting ready to see Westworld next week. You know what I'm saying? Game of Thrones gonna come back. You know,
yeah, buddy.
I'm saying I might just start digging into some HBO shows on this one.
You know, I if I didn't have such a thing against Comcast, because I had so much trouble with them when I had them here.
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of tied to my Verizon, because I've never really had an issue with Verizon outside of like a handful of things that got solved right away.
Uh-huh.
But that's nice. That's kind of a tough thing, because that's, you know, it's a little bit of change. You throw it up, you know, for Netflix and Hulu that you're going to get for nothing essentially with Comcast. So that's kind of a nice little deal.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll try and figure out some way to finesse it in the back end. Say, hey, you know, you join Comcast for 2 years contract, you get this. After the contract up, it goes up $500. No, something
like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the fine print you don't read says in 2 months, it's going to go up to $50.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So you know, we'll keep you posted on anything as far as updates for that. But yeah, just read the fine print. But sounds like some good news. I mean, this is the way of technology, I guess. You know, we were talking about it before. Like, is our streaming services going to hinder cable companies and things like that? This is the best way to adapt, is to take it and put it. And make it a part of your bundle. And, yeah, that's the way to stay with the times.
Certainly a place to start, excuse me, no doubt.
Yeah.
Is to start adding this stuff, because more and more people use it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's what a lot of people are just going to permanently. In some cases, they'll get rid of everything and they'll just keep Netflix and Hulu and, you know, a Fire Stick or something, because it's a couple hundred dollars cheaper.
Yeah.
I think if some of these companies realized, you know, Verizon or Comcast realized, hey, if we dumped the cost of our services down $100, we would start an influx of people that would be ridiculous.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I know what I pay for my cable and my internet right now, and it's insane per month. You know what I mean? It's every time I look at my bill, I question why I'm doing it. And then, you know, I look at my DVR and I go, oh, that's why I'm doing it.
Right.
But it's like, if you didn't charge an arm and a leg for everything and you brought it down at decent prices, people would switch left and right. Like, admittedly, as much as I don't like Comcast, if I got something Comcast said, hey, we'll give you the exact same thing you get now for $125 a month, done. I will dump Verizon tomorrow and switch over for that.
Bye.
It would be significantly less than what I pay now. So, but, you know, they don't want to do it, so.
Yeah, whatever. So, hopefully this is the start of some good news as far as, you know, streaming services and, you know, what we're going to get as far as cable providers are concerned. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last piece I got for you guys in the TV news is all Star Trek Discovery Season 2 stuff. I'm a big fan of Star Trek Discovery. I know a lot of people don't like it. I know a lot of people say, like, oh, it's not really like a Trekkie show. It's not really Star Wars. I mean, it's not really Star Trek. You know what I'm saying? But, like, what I like about it is it's taking a step back, I guess, from just a straight-up exploration show. And now we're watching a Star Trek show that's in the midst of battle. So it's good in that regard. So I think I'm really interested. I'm going to stick with it. First season was incredible. I really like the cast. The cast is super strong. We got Captain Pike coming on next season. And they've already cast Anson Mount as Captain Pike. For those of you who don't remember, Anson Mount was Black Bolt in the failed Inhuman series.
Yes, he was. Yikes.
So, you know, anybody who's an Anson Mount fan, go further than that. Hell on Wheels, which was a great show. He was a great character in that show. Inhumans, he just got a crap turn, a crap end of the stick. Like, it's just really no way around it. Like, Inhumans just wasn't a well-put-together show. I don't really think the creators had enough faith in it for it to be what it could have been. And I just felt like it fell flat. And it's no surprise that we're not hearing anything about it being renewed or any type of furthering of the story. So it's good that he's got a new position. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. So we'll see.
I mean, it just wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, that was the bottom line. The show was just not good.
Yeah.
Didn't start well. Didn't end well. It just, you know, I don't think it really ever had a chance.
No.
It wasn't very well written. Wasn't very well acted, ultimately. So, you know, I'm not surprised we've got nothing that says they're going to give it another shot or bring it back. I think ultimately it just wasn't a good idea.
Yeah.
You know. I know there was talk for a while that it was originally going to be a movie. You know, they were going to go that route. I just don't. Now, look, I would have said probably the same thing about Guardians when Guardians first came out because I knew next to nothing about Guardians. But I don't know that Inhumans is the kind of IP or whatever you want to call it that's going to bring a lot of people in to see it. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be. But I don't know that they've got enough interesting characters to do their own thing. Part of another movie, sure. You know, a group involved in another movie, yeah. But I don't know that they have solid enough characters to be their own thing, ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, let's be for real. Like, basically, Inhumans was being used as a surrogate for X-Men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, they even did that in the comics. Like, the X-Men got thoroughly trashed in Marvel Comics while X-Men belonged to Fox. You know, so they put Inhumans more in the forefront. I think Inhumans would have served better as a season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and called it a day.
You know? Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I think it would have made more sense. It would have been better received, you know, and it looked kind of like that's what they were going to do.
Right.
You know, at least start them there, you know, introduce people to them and go from there. But for whatever reason, they decided not to do that, decided to go with the regular full-fledged TV show, and it bombed miserably.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. But, like, what else? What else have I got on here for Star Trek Discovery? All right. So, yeah. So, we got Captain Pike. I'm glad that Anson Mount has shaken off the Inhumans, and now he's getting an opportunity to kind of redeem himself. Playing Captain Pike on Star Trek. And for those of you that don't know, Captain Pike is Captain Kirk's father. So we'll get an opportunity to see his pops in action, before the golden era of Star Trek really starts to take shape. But we also get a couple of nods to the original crew, through young Spock. He's going to appear in a flashback memory. I mean, the main character of the show was supposed to be an adopted sibling of Spock. I mean, she basically gets taken on by Spock's dad, trained in the ways of the Vulcan, and then reintegrated back into human culture and society. So I'm really liking where the show is going. There's all different kinds of characters, all different alien races. I'm loving it. It still has that it still is very much a Gene Roddenberry inspired world. But it's definitely more intense and fast paced as far as the story is concerned, because it's not so much, they're all still scientists, they're all still explorers, but there's very much a wartime feel to it. So I'll be interested to see where it goes for season two. Let's save our game news for releasing this week. We'll move that down there. Let's move into some movie stuff. All right, so the Disney Fox deal, we had been talking about that for months before they had solidified it. And we rejoiced when we got the news and it broke that this was actually happening. So now Disney and Fox are merging. We get X-Men, Fantastic Four back into the MCU. So basically the news that we're getting is that the deal was supposed to finalize in the summer of 2019. So, anybody who was expecting it to be any earlier than that, nah, I don't know what to tell you. But this is normally kind of what I expected. I mean, I remember you know, years ago when Disney and Sony were conducting their discussions and talks, and it finally settled that Spider-Man was going to be included in the MCU. That took like a year to settle. So this just makes sense. And honestly, I would not be surprised if Marvel has a plan in place to include all of these characters come next year.
I 100% guarantee you they do. And yeah. I'll give you my reasoning as to why. But we kind of knew it was going to take a while, because even when the news first broke where they said, yeah, you know, Disney is officially trying to buy Fox to get all these pieces, you know, X, Y, and Z. They said it was going to take some time. They're like, first off, they said, well, it's not guaranteed. You know, it's still got to go through X, Y, and Z before it gets approved.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a while for that to happen. It could take over a year. And that's expected. Although we've got to work all the legalities out. You got to work out this. You got to work out that. You know, all kinds of stuff has to be taken care of before, you know, Disney can take full control. And they have to, basically, they have to, the government, I don't even know exactly who it's going to be, has to look at it and say, okay, you're not going to be a monopoly buying all these products, these, you know, pieces. You can have them. Go give your money to them.
Yeah.
The reason, and a lot of this, you know, been that speculation is part of it, that the Fantastic Four weren't going to come along with the deal because they were owned technically by somebody else who was giving it to Fox, you know, when Fox was paying them for it, blah, 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 blah. Marvel's not dumb. They're not going to go into a deal like this, or Disney's not dumb, I should say, without all the ducks in a row, as right. it were, and full well knowing what's coming to them. And I think the giveaway is, if most people remember, if you actually read and buy the comics at all, you know that about a year or two ago, when Fox started to reboot the last Abomination they made in the Fantastic Four movie, Marvel went, okay. And they canceled the Fantastic Four comic book. They didn't make it anymore. They went, fine, you'll get no press from us. You'll get no help from us. We're not even going to make the comic book anymore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's nothing for the Fantastic Four coming out of Marvel. Characters might show up here and there in different comics, but there's no Fantastic Four comic for you to deal with. Well, what just happened to be reinstated about, I don't know, a week or two ago by Marvel?
Yep.
The Fantastic Four comic book. If that doesn't scream, hey, we've got this, we just can't tell you yet, I don't know what does. You know, I mean, they're very clearly saying, look, we're going to put the comic book back out again. We didn't do it because Fox was being, you know, what they were being. But now we're going to go ahead and put it back out again. They're getting everything. They're getting the Fantastic Four. They're getting the X-Men. It's what's going to happen. Nice. The Russo brothers are talking about doing Secret Wars, if they can, at some point in the future. You need the Fantastic Four and the X-Men to make Secret Wars. You cannot make that movie without them. It doesn't work because they're integral characters to the whole story. This is going to happen.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time now as to when it's official. But I can almost guarantee you, because I don't think there'd be anything that would be considered any kind of tampering or anything. I guarantee you there is full discussion in the background of the Fantastic Four movie, the new rebooted X-Men Marvel movie, introducing mutants into the movies, and all of that stuff is sitting in an office somewhere. Even if it's a back office where not everybody's allowed into, somebody's in there getting a call from Kevin Feige every once in a while going, figure this out. So I there's no doubt in my mind that all that stuff is in the works.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not even in the slightest.
Yeah, and that'll be dope. Like I'm looking forward to hearing that news. And that's the thing. When they normally do these things, like you watch either the movie change the comic or the comic set up the movie. I think what we're gonna get is the comic setting up the movie. And I think what they're developing now is basically the story for the Fantastic Four movie, which will be awesome. Yeah. So
I would agree. I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Yeah, so looking forward to this deal finalizing in summer 2019, but I'm sure we're gonna hear something, some kind of advertise. I think they're gonna celebrate the finalization of the deal by releasing a movie or something, or announcing something's gonna be released. So
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I mean, look. Isn't summer usually when D23 is?
Yep. There you go.
So,
aha.
Let's put the two and two together. Exactly. Aha. Let's put everything together at this point. You know, I'm fairly confident D23 next year we will be hearing, if not the announcement of the cast of the Fantastic Four, we will be hearing that the movie is in the works. So,
yeah,
I would guess we see. You know, if we had to guess, I would guess we see Fantastic Four movie from Marvel Studios in 2020.
Nice. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. So when it happens, okay, just tell everybody, oh, you know, I've been listening to this great podcast called The Boss's Desk, and those guys got it first.
Yeah. Well, it's a year ago.
They were already on while they you guys them. Were just trying to figure it out. Oh, man. So let's talk about our anticipation and excitement for next week. The end is nigh, folks.
8 days. 8 days and counting.
And we get this, the Infinity War, boy.
I cannot... Look, Thanos has always been one of my favorite characters. I buy the comics. I buy most things I can that have him in them. I cannot wait to see him actually a full part of the movie instead of these, you know, 2 or 3 minute pieces.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% thrilled with the synopsis I'm reading of why he's doing what he's doing,
uh-huh.
But I don't care enough for it to not still, you know, for it to hurt my excitement because he's going to be on the big screen. He's going to be the character of the movie, the main bad guy. And I cannot wait. The only one I'm waiting for beyond that will be another year or two. With Victor Von Doom taking the screen. done properly, I might add.
Right.
This horse shit that Fox did for 3 movies. But I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait. I am admittedly partially terrified because I know we're going to lose some faces that we enjoy and we
Everybody
love.
Everybody dead.
I don't think everybody's going to die, but, you know, obviously the big rumors are Tony's going to die, Steve's going to die, you know, nobody knows the truth. I know I personally believe the one person who I'm 100% would bet my paycheck on is going to be Loki.
Yeah.
I really do believe Loki's going to die, which is a shame because Tom Hiddleston is one of those guys who just stepped off the page of the comic book and created
yep.
an incredible character in those movies.
Yeah.
And we'll end up losing him. But, you know, you never know. They could bring him back in some fashion, or if he decides to step away from Marvel Studios but still doesn't mind doing the comics, DC, Warner Brothers could do the really smart thing and cast the Joker with Tom Hiddleston.
Oh.
Would be the smartest thing they've
ever done. He's a free agent then. He's a free
agent. He would
agent.
Be a free agent. He would be available. But I think he's the one character you can 100% guarantee is going to kick in this movie. I don't think everybody else is as much guaranteed as people think. If you're forcing me to pick between the two, between Tony and Steve Rogers, unfortunately, I think Steve Rogers would be the one they would pick, decide to go.
Man.
I would hate to see that because I like Chris Evans in general. I think he's a good actor. I like the stuff that he's in. You know, I loved him in, I even liked him in the original Fantastic Fours, even though I hated the movies because he was a good Johnny Storm. Loved him in, Scott Pilgrim versus the World as the one movie star bad guy. He was so perfect as that character. I think he's just a generally good actor, but you know, if you go by the words that he says and you interpret them the way people want you to interpret them, it sounds like he's done with being, you know, comic book hero, which is a shame because he's so good at it.
Yeah.
I won't be, look, pretty much everybody's coming back for Avengers 4, which is why I don't really think we're going to see too many deaths in this one.
Yeah.
Unless there's just a lot of flashbacks in Avengers 4, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But, I'm pretty sure by the end of Avengers 4, which is next year, we are going to lose Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. They may not necessarily die, but I think they're going to walk away and call it, you know, call it a career in Marvel. It's been 10 years. You know, it's been
I just
how
watched,
many movies?
It's been what, 20 plus movies? 22 maybe? I just watched Iron Man last night. 2008 that movie came out. 10 years.
10 years, man. Well, and you look at him, he's been in all three Iron Mans.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the Hulk. He was in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been in five of those. Or were
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming. Avengers, Age of Ultron. You know, he's been in eight of these movies, if not more than I'm missing somewhere.
Yeah.
That's a lot, you know, in 10 years, 8 movies is a lot. You don't get a lot of actors who do that many movies over a 10-year span. They'll do maybe 2 or 3, ultimately. You know, unless you're Samuel L. Jackson, in which case you do about 60 movies over a span of 10 years. But he's been in it for a long time, you know, and I think he's earned the right to say, I'm going to step away and let the kids take over.
Yeah.
As much as we don't want to see it. You know, but it's going to be tough to lose some of these characters, man. It really, really is.
Yeah, I think Tony's going to stay around for a little bit. Maybe not in the capacity in which we're used to. I don't think there'd be any more solo Iron Man films.
Right.
Or at least solo Robert Downey Iron Man films. But
It would be interesting to see them go the route the comic went for a while where Tony wasn't Iron Man anymore, but Rhodey was.
Right, right.
So you wonder, Don Cheadle's a little bit older too, but you wonder, would he be up for doing solo movies with him as Iron Man?
That would be dope.
I'd be dope. I'd be down for that. I love Don Cheadle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, could he carry his own solo Iron Man film as Iron Man? I think he probably could. It would definitely be very different. You'd have to take a different tone to the movie.
Right.
But I'd pay to see that. I love Don Cheadle.
Yeah. So who knows? At this point, it's just like, just waiting for the 27th to get here.
it's going to be a brutal week.
Yeah.
Brutal week waiting for that next week. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those where it's at least one viewing the day of, if not two, depending on how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
And probably Saturday, and probably Sunday.
Well, I mean,
for at least one more each.
Here's the thing. Like, it's crazy because it's like, I felt the same. I definitely felt the same way around Black Panther. And I was like, yo, I'm going to see a movie the day of, and then I'm going to see it on Saturday. Then I might see it on Sunday. Now, I saw it on Friday and Saturday because I pre-ordered those tickets.
Right.
But Sunday was sold out. There was no way I was getting in there. So that's kind of how I'm feeling with Avengers. Just like, if I don't pre-order these tickets, I ain't going to see nothing multiple times.
I will find a way. If the movie's as good as I think it's going to be, which I think is just a given at this point, I will find a way to see it multiple times that weekend because I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
I don't have a choice. I won't have a choice. I have to see it multiple times.
Look, I'm going to keep it a whole bean with you. These movies are front row worthy. Like, I'll sit in the front row if I have to get a multiple showing in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Neck strain and all. I don't care. I'll do it. Oh, man. So to round out our movie discussion, we're going to take it to another superhero of sorts.
Yes. Love it.
Baba Yaga, or Yaga Baba, or whatever you say.
The Baba Yaga is correct.
Yes. Baba Yaga. The Boogeyman.
I love that character. Every movie that guy is in, I can never remember his name, and he's in a bazillion movies.
I just call him the Russian.
And he's, and I don't even think he's Russian. I think that's the funny part.
No, he's like Ukrainian.
Was it Peter Stadari or something? Or Staudmeier? Or
Staudmeier?
Peter something.
Yeah.
Peter something. I love that, man. Ever since, and I saw him stuff before that, but ever since he was Lucifer in Constantine.
Yeah. Hey. And so they were in the same movie again.
That's good. Excellent point. I didn't even think about that. But he was brilliant as that character in Constantine. He's been one of my favorite character actors.
Yeah.
And he pops up in random places like Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Bad Boys 2, one of them. He was one of the Bad Boys movies. He's just so good.
He's everywhere.
But, you know, that's one of the best. One of the best pieces they ever did for. So obviously we're talking about John Wick 3.
Yes. Just to bring it all back.
Just to bring it kind of all back before I start rambling really like I normally guys. Do. One of the best things they ever did was they did a piece for, I think it was the DVD release of John Wick 2, where they had a fake funeral home set up. And they had him standing up front as the character from the beginning of John Wick 2. And he's reading off the names of all the people who have died to John Wick in the John Wick movies, and he's talking about the characters, and he's like ragging on this guy, and he's talking about how this guy lived with his mother and he should have stayed there, and he's talking about this. It's one of the funniest damn things you'll ever see. And he's just going and going and going, and there's like a scroll behind him, like on a television screen, as the names keep going by.
Oh,
he's like,
man,
that's Victor. Victor owed me $20, so I'm glad he's dead. But this guy, it's great. It's hilarious. If you can ever find it, it's really, really funny. But it was great marketing for that movie. But this, number three, man, I love this series. This is one of those. The first one was one of those where you heard about it, and you're like, really? Keanu Reeves is an action star? Really? Like, we know he did The Matrix, but he was still Keanu Reeves.
Right.
You're talking about the guy being like an assassin hitman here with Keanu, whatever. And then more and more of the trailers started to hit. More and more I started going, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
And then I went to see it, and it's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, it's like
so good.
It's like before you go in, you're like, oh, Keanu Reeves is an action star? Like, come on, guys. And then you go see the movie, and then you come out, Keanu Reeves is an action star, guys. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
He's the best to ever do it, okay?
And I think part of what made it so good was it was so simple, ultimately, in the premise. And the movies were kept pretty simple. It was all, we're going to give you about 5 minutes to settle in, then we're going to take off with the action, and you just keep watching, and we'll be over before you know it. And it ends, and you don't want it to end, because there's so much fun. There's such good movies.
Yep.
As long as, you know, if you go in looking for any kind of deep, meaningful plot, you're not going to like the movie.
Right.
But if you go in realizing it's an action movie, it's got Keanu Reeves, it's going to be a lot of fun, you're going to love the movie. They're fantastic. Yeah. I cannot wait for the third one.
Like, honestly, John Wick to me is the way that I feel like action movies should have been done. You know what I'm saying? Like, you always go into these action movies and you're just like, oh man, yo, they're out here shooting like stormtroopers. Like, who are they hitting? Bullets just wasted. How much ammo do you have? You know what I'm saying? You can't have that much ammo. Like, John Wick, the way he moves through scenes and the way that he shoots first to down and shoots the second time to pretty much seal your fate. Like,
basically, yeah.
It's just like one to get you down and the other one, like the first one, you're probably already dead. The second one, just to make sure there's no resuscitation or coming back or no.
There's no wasted shot from John Wick.
It's like you're counting bullets, and this man is not wasting bullets. So, yeah, I definitely appreciate John Wick's, like, tactical implementation of what it is to be an action film. And Keanu Reeves just, like, his care. His expert care into knowing exactly what he's doing and making sure that he looks like he's the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
He's a professional. A lot of time, like,
training.
Yeah. Yep. Like, there's only two actors that I know that I will go see their movies regardless. It's Keanu Reeves and it's Tom Cruise. It doesn't matter what movie it is. I'm going to go see it. These guys are serious about what they do.
It's true.
You know what I'm saying? True. I appreciate that.
and you know what's funny? Like, it just I had a thought that stuck in my head for a minute. Like, the only thing missing from John Wick is Samuel L. Jackson. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, but they gave us Lawrence Fishburne in the second one, who was basically playing Samuel L. Jackson when it comes right down to it. So I don't really need Sam Jack in this. I would love Sam Jack in this movie, but I don't need him.
Yep.
Because I got Lawrence Fishburne, who's basically playing Sam Jackson.
Oh, man. That's great.
Oh, it's awesome. I cannot wait. That's another one I'll be definitely looking forward to. That's another one I will take a day off of work to go see.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be that much fun.
Yeah. Oh, man. John Wick. So it's like it's they're starting filming this week. We're going to get a little look into John's origin. You know what I'm saying? All the answers, all the questions that I wanted answers for in the previous ones, I feel like we're going to get with three. And then most of the actors that were in one and two were slated to return.
The ones that are still alive.
Yeah, the ones that are still breathing. the series is still on the menu to be done. It's going to be called The Continental, and it's going to center primarily on the hotel for assassins around the world.
And he's supposedly going to be part of it too.
Yeah, he's supposed to be producing, and he's going to be making an appearance. So it's going to kind of be like the what was that show? The Limitless movie, and then they had the Limitless show, and then Bradley Cooper was producing, and he showed up on a couple episodes too.
Okay. See, I never saw the movie. I didn't watch the show, but I do remember them. I just never saw them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be in that same type of vein. It's like the show's going to go focus on other characters, but Keanu Reeves is going to be in the backdrop. We'll see him show up here and there. So
it better have Ian McShane. That's all I'm going to say. Because Ian McShane is another one of my favorites. And he makes those movies as the guy who runs the Continental.
Yeah. So. I'm sure it's going to be an Ian McShane show. It's him and who's the guy? Lance Reddick?
Yes.
Yeah, both Lance of them. Reddick. I know for a fact. I feel it. Like, this show is going to be centered around those two characters.
Lance Reddick, who would still be my pick to play Professor X when they reboot that
series. I'm saying. I'll just make it happen.
Something a little different. You'd be really good at it.
Yep, and Joe Morton is Magneto. Papa Pope. Oh, man, I would so watch the heck out of that movie. if for nothing else, just for Joe Morton's monologues, like, they are some of the best. Like, his monologues on Scandal are some of the best pieces of writing in the history of writing. And I wonder how much he gets to ad-lib those things. But he kills it every time. Oh. Oh, man. All right, well, that is it for Geek News of the Week. Let's talk about some of the things that are coming out this week, some things that are releasing this week. We got on TV, Originals, the CW Vampire show will be returning. I believe it's this week they're returning. And this is their last season, so hang on to your butts. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of death.
I've never seen this. I actually don't even remember ever hearing about it.
So there's kind of I've seen a couple of episodes, and my lady watches it religiously, and she will tell you it is one of the greatest shows on TV right now. So she's definitely hurt that it's leaving this season, but I think they're doing it right. That's how you do it. You come in, you make a mark, and you disappear. Just make people want you. That's how you
get
do
out
it.
Before it gets good.
Yep.
Get out while it gets good, I should say.
What else is coming out this week in TV? We got Into the Badlands returning for another season. A lot of new characters, a lot of new villains coming up this season. I haven't even started watching this show yet because I have a feeling I don't want to watch it and then have to be like every week like everybody else.
Right.
But I'm gonna start the first season because I've heard nothing but great things about this show, and I'm all about kung fu, martial arts action. And swords. So
that's what I was gonna say is I haven't started either, but I've heard nothing but good stuff about it. I need to sit down and actually watch it because it's supposed to be really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I definitely should.
And I think the guy, I can't remember his name, but he always plays like some crazy, like demented characters. But I always wanted him to be Kraven the Hunter in Spider-Man. Can't remember his name. Into the
Badlands. Should be Jason Momoa, but that's okay.
I mean, I've heard that too. But you know, my man is tied up right now. He is tied up.
Yeah, he's tied up with Aquaman, which is going to bomb, so he's going to need something else to do anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's his name, Martin Sokas. If you've ever seen anything,
I don't know him.
He was on Equalizer. He was on The Amazing Spider-Man. He played another character, though. He was on Aeon Flux. He's on Triple X. He was on Noah. He's been in a lot of stuff. But he's like, he just has this very like stern, like killer face. And I think he would be perfect for Kraven the Hunter. Wow. You got to get him now while he's young. So yeah. That's all I'm saying. Oh, man. But yeah, so, and finally rounding out TV releases for this week, coming Sunday, we're back in Westworld. Excited, yo.
Yes.
Yeah, that cast is so strong, man.
That first season was so good.
Yo, I mean, you want to talk about mind-boggling? Oh, man, the cliffhangers. I'm excited about this new season.
The cliffhangers, the reveals.
Yes.
It's just amazing stuff that they did with that show. Just, you know, you could see some of the stuff that they were doing coming. You know what I mean? If you were really paying attention. So
right.
Not everything surprised you, but there were some things where you were just like, wait a minute, what just happened?
Am like, I in the Matrix?
Yeah, right? You know, and it's just such a good cast, such a good writing. I can't wait for season two. I can't wait to see where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, man. And if you guys haven't been watching already, Legion is back on air. I am the type of person who understands that Legion is a very complex show. So I need to watch each season in its entirety. I don't need to wait week for week. Because that show was out of this world first season. The first couple episodes, I had a difficult time trying to figure out what time period we were in.
Yeah. I couldn't stick with it. I watched the first couple episodes and I was like, I don't think this one's for me.
It's trippy.
I couldn't stay with it. It lost me more than once. So I never really got too far into it. I wanted to, but I couldn't hang with it. It was a little bit too much for me.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a decent show. I mean, it introduces characters within the X-Men universe that you haven't really heard about but are involved with other characters in the main X-Men universe that we have been familiar with. So it's worth a look just to get some supplemental and just to see what else is going on in that universe. But yeah. So that's it for TV. Yeah. Coming out this week in gaming, Kratos Returns, God of War, PlayStation 4.
Yes. A very different Kratos.
Yeah, this time around. Now, I'm not going to hold you. The first time I heard that we were getting a new God of War, but T.C. Carter wasn't doing the voice of Kratos, I was upset. Upset. I was like, "How? This is ridiculous. Who is this guy doing the voice? It's not even the same guy. This is not T.C. Carter. I'm not with this. I'm not with this at all." And come to find out, the guy that's doing the voice, what's his name? Michael something, I'm going to say.
I don't know. Be honest with you, I never haven't looked.
So, I don't know. Christopher Judge. I was completely wrong. His name was His name is Christopher Judge. But I don't know if you guys, any of you guys, I mean, you know, this is geek culture stuff. So, you know, if any of you guys watch the Stargate series, he plays Teal'c in Stargate, the original Stargate. And, you know, he's like a fan favorite on that show. So hearing his voice and then hearing it behind Kratos, I'm like, ah, man, all right. So I can't really be completely salty. So, and I mean, he does the voice so well. He really does. It's like there's definitely a change in Kratos' character for this game, which I'm looking forward to fleshing out and exploring. He's a different man now. Like, this is like, you know, after basically killing every god in Titan in Greek lore and mythology. Even heroes. God, he killed Hercules.
He killed everybody.
He killed... That's everybody dead. That is
absolutely everybody dead. I mean, my man did some horrid things
to
a lot of gods.
I think he killed Daedalus, too. Like, yo, man, nobody was safe.
Nope.
Nobody was safe. Even other heroes, even other cats who you thought were heroes in Greek mythology, he killed them, too.
Oh, man, you name him. He took him out. Toot sweet, as it were.
Man.
My man I'm said, saying. Nope, you're coming with me.
So, you know, all that violence and destruction, yeah, you know, it eventually wears down on a man. So we follow up with Kratos as he's escaped to Scandinavia. And he's trying to, you know, live out his days and raise his son. We'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to it, man.
I am too. I'm looking. It's going to be a little bit of a different take on the character. I don't think he's going to be... It doesn't feel like he's going to be as uber violent as the other games, which is okay, even though I did enjoy the other games.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's Norse mythology as opposed to Greek mythology, mm-hmm. which is a cool difference and a cool twist. So
yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's
going to be... I got it on order. It's going to be on its way. You know, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
Games are always a lot of fun, so definitely looking
forward. Yeah. I definitely look forward to God of War games. I think I'm gonna get the old ones too. I'm gonna get the remastered ones.
Oh yeah, you should.
Yeah,
you
I'm
should.
Gonna get the remastered ones.
The old ones are great.
Yeah, and run through those again. Just to reminisce on colder times. Oh man. Gosh, the way he killed Hades. Whew. He dealt death to the god of death. Like, you got to understand, like, how gangster that is.
Yeah, it didn't much matter. I mean, I believe, if I recall correctly, at one point he kills Odin.
Yo, he does not care about anybody. I think you meant, I think you meant Zeus, right?
Or Zeus, yes, thank you.
I'm sure he'll probably kill Odin at some point in this
one. Odin will probably die in this one, because it's Norse mythology. But yes, he kills Zeus at one point. I mean, he just... I forget which god it was, but he goes to one god and he pushes their eyeballs in.
Oh, I know who that was. That was, what's his name?
Poseidon. Poseidon.
That was Poseidon.
Oh, that was rough.
Yeah, he got it. He got it bad.
When it happens, you got the player view from Poseidon's view, which doesn't last very long. But you were Kratos, and you see the thumbs coming at you.
Yeesh. Yeah.
That was rough. Loved it, but it was rough.
They did some very experimental things in that game, so those shots were pretty good.
It's funny, I was talking to somebody the other day who was like, that's one of the weirdest games I've ever played. I was like, clearly you never played Dante's Inferno.
Oh, man, yo.
You want to talk about just a mind screw of a game?
Yeah.
Go play you some Dante's Inferno and then come back.
Which, it boggles my mind how they, I mean, I know that they had set it up for a sequel. I just really wish they had moved forward with it, man.
I don't know why they never did. I don't know if something came out of it where they couldn't or what, but. That was a fun game. Well, it's hard to say it was a fun game because it's brutal.
Yeah, it's brutal.
In its imagery and stuff. But, I mean, that was a great game to play. It was a lot of fun.
That game was so... Yo, it makes you think about your life. Like, yo, I need to get my stuff in order because...
Yep, right?
I'm not trying to visit none of these circles.
And each circle is just so...
It just gets darker and darker. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, man. I might have to get
Dante's Inferno 2 canceled. This is from 2016, so the sequel is canceled.
Man. But yeah, so that's pretty much it for gaming. I can't think of anything else that's coming out this week for games. So, look for God of War. If you're a fan of the franchise, definitely come back and check it out. Even if you're just looking for something new, just check it out. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get Assassin's Creed vibes as far as the character development, as far as the leveling up system. So
I can see that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So movies this week. We got three movies coming out this week. Super Troopers is coming back after so many years. Holy crap.
It's been a long time since we've seen these movies. Yeah, that first movie is
great. I think they've been talking about it for longer.
They have been. They've been talking about it for a long time. They did a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter, one of the two, to help get the movie made. And I think they only asked for, they didn't ask for a whole lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Look, you don't need a whole lot
to make
a Super Troopers movie. but they didn't ask for a whole lot, and they got it, overnight. Something ridiculous like that.
Wow.
So they went out and they made it. I think they were making it for a few years because as far as I remember, the GoFundMe stuff was at least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But they got it done, man. And it's, of course, they're putting it out on 420. of course, it makes perfect sense for them to do it that way.
Right.
Yeah, man, it's coming. I can't wait. I'll definitely go check that out because that was one of my all-time favorites. The first one was great.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see that, and it'll be interesting to see the credits, because if this was a GoFundMe, I'm wondering if there was a mark that people could make where they could get their name in the credits or whatever. So it'll be cool to see all the producers lined up that were participants in the GoFundMe. That'd be awesome.
I think they did, if I remember correctly. I think they did.
Cool. Yeah. So second movie we got coming out this week called Traffic. So basically the write-up is this. A couple off for a romantic weekend in the mountains are accosted by a biker gang. Alone in the mountains, Bree and John must defend themselves against the gang who will stop at nothing to protect their secrets. Oh, man. I mean, I saw the trailer for this, and my man Omar Epps is back in there, on the big screen. So I don't know what to expect, but it looks like super intense. But I don't know if they're going to be if the couple's going to be the aggressors or the biker game going to be more the aggressors. Is this going to be a thriller or is this going to be more like an action? I don't know. So
it's going to be one of those where the couple looks all innocent, the biker gang pulls up on
right.
And next thing you know, the couple's killing the biker gang. John Wick style.
We should have left. We should have kept going. Oh man,
I haven't even heard of this one, so I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah. And the last one out is I Feel Pretty, starring, what's her name?
Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer. So a woman struggling with his insecurity wakes from a fall, believing she's the most beautiful and capable woman on the planet. Her new confidence empowers her to live fearlessly. But what happens when she realizes her appearance never changed? So, I mean, I saw the trailers. I'm really not a big Amy Schumer fan, so I probably will wait for this.
I was kind of a big Amy Schumer fan until she really started going really hard and political, you know, when the presidential election started not too long ago, and she really went hard on the political stuff, and it just got to be like, look, I'm not much of a political guy. Like, I have my opinions, and I'll watch on the side, and I'll make my opinions what I read and whatnot. But you know, when like 2 weeks straight every single day is a post about, you know, how much you hate the other guy and how much you love her and blah blah blah. It's like, I get it. You're obviously allowed your opinion, but maybe not every single day. You need to post something, you know.
Oversaturation,
you know, and look, again, like I just said, obviously they're all allowed their opinions. They're all, you know, they're regular people down deep, ultimately. They do have that public persona that people will always see, but ultimately they're just regular people. But it's like the hypocrisy that gets thrown around on both sides with some of these things, and a lot from these movie stars, is like, settle it down. You know what I mean? It's like, you hate this person because they made fun of somebody. So in order to display your hate for that person, you make fun of them. Do you not realize the hypocrisy in how that works? You know what I mean?
Right, it's like,
look, I'm not a Donald Trump supporter. I'm not a Donald Trump fan. But when one of your big things is that you hate him because he made fun of somebody who had a handicap, and your hatred about him continues on, this Dorito skinned midget with really bad hair, blah, 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 blah. You're doing what he's doing. Like, how do you not realize that's what you're doing? Like, that just, it makes you look that much worse. But yeah, so when she started kind of down that road, I kind of started, you know, bagging out on her and her stuff. So, I did like the last movie, Trainwreck. Her last movie was very funny.
I still haven't seen that movie yet.
It's a pretty funny movie. Let me take it back. Her last one was Snatched, I think was the name of the movie.
Right.
With Goldie Hawn, which I did see, and it was okay. Trainwreck is very funny.
Okay.
So she does have her moments, and a lot of people don't like her anymore. But I don't know. This is one I would necessarily go see. I might check it out, you know, when it's available through other means. Yeah, I personally wouldn't go to the theater on this one because I don't know that it's going to be. And I could be completely wrong because, like I said, Trainwreck was actually very funny.
Yeah.
But this one I might wait on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I may need to give Trainwreck a view over the weekend just to kind of see. And if I'm feeling it, maybe I'll get it when it's out on Redbox or rental or something. But yeah.
That's an idea too.
Yeah. So here we go. So yeah, folks, we're going to take a little break and we'll come back after the message. Hey, what's up, Boss Fam? Big Boss here. And as much as the professor and I love giving you the geek news of the week, every week and discussing all things geek culture, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least try to use our platform to do a little good in the world. That's why the professor and I, along with some of our friends, will be working together with ExtraLife.org to raise money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Extra Life unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. Extra Life is a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And on game day, November 3rd of this year, the boss's desk will be joined by thousands of gamers and dedicate an entire day, 24 hours, to play games and get donations from friends like you. 100% of your donations go to our local hospital, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And together, we can make a difference for sick and injured kids. Your donation is 100% tax deductible and will make miracles happen for families who desperately need them. So go ahead, click the link down below, the donate button down at the bottom of our podcast page, and it'll take you to a webpage that'll allow you to make a safe and easy online donation to our cause. And now let's get back to the show. All right, so now we're going to get into our little secret levels, hot topic section. Something that's kind of been on my mind with these recent movies that have come out. We got Tomb Raider came out a little while ago. We got Rampage. None of these movies seem to be really breaking 100,000, and they haven't really done so since the Angry Birds movie. So let's talk about some video game movie adaptations. So, you know, the persistent Hollywood idea is that video game movies are cursed to fail. Like, they're just doomed to fail from the start, and they're never going to be able to make the success that a major blockbuster film can make. So, right. My question is, will we ever see video game movie adaptations become that blockbuster worthy film that, you know, they're pressing for it to be? And if it is, what will that film look like? What will it take for it to be a blockbuster? What are your thoughts on that, Professor?
I mean, I think it depends on the game, the popularity of the game, mm-hmm. I guess is kind of what I'm thinking. And it really, the biggest thing is the translation, you know, coming across. The problem, I think, with a lot of these movies is translations are terrible.
Right.
You know, the games themselves, ultimately a lot of these games themselves are movies in unto themselves. So you can't, while people don't want to take them from, you know, script to screen as far as the games themselves go, they try to take them in whole new directions and they just don't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they just don't. Like, I was kind of surprised the Warcraft movie wasn't as good as it was, because that is a, you know, it's a 10-year-old game that's got lore beyond lore. Right. You could do anything with and make it work, but it was just so poorly written. The acting wasn't very good. It just didn't work. It had potential to work. It just didn't. You know, Assassin's Creed. I don't know how you have a piece like Assassin's Creed and not make an amazing action movie, because you could kind of do essentially what they did and create your own character, yep, as part of the lore, as part of the background, but they just didn't, I don't know if they spent too much time in the modern day or if they didn't build up the characters enough as far as the movie went, because I only watched it the one time and I wasn't a big fan, but.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know what I mean? It's difficult. I want to believe that the Uncharted movies are going to be good when they finally get around to that, and I want to believe that Tom Holland is going to have a lot to do with that, because he's, you know, I like Tom Holland a lot. He's a really good actor. And he's been great as Spider-Man. He's got kind of that same, you know, you kind of think he'd be able to pull kind of some of that into play a young Nathan Drake, and you know, isn't going to be too entirely different from, you know, a young Peter Parker outside.
Right,
closer to Indiana Jones and Spider-Man, but the attitude's going to be. But it really kind of depends, you know, ultimately on the writing and who's doing them. You know, you look back, I guess, at some of these, see who's writing the movies and who's, you know, writing the screenplays and whatnot. And most of the movies they make stink.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's be honest. When one of the more popular writers to make video game movies is Uwe Boll, you're not going to get real far.
Right.
You know what I mean? So. And I think some of the time you run into things that just people look, just the idea people think is silly. You know, like, look, an Angry Birds movie is going to do a lot of money because you're going to get a lot of kids.
Right.
But that's all you're going to get is kids. You're not going to get anybody else beyond that.
Right.
You know, the idea of a Rampage movie makes even less sense, because the Rampage game is not something that lends itself to a movie.
Right. There hasn't been even a reboot of Rampage in the past, I don't even know how many years.
A long, long time.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
it's just some of the stuff. The one thing that came out that I thought probably would have been pretty successful was the Dark Mortal Kombat series they put together that was more of a TV show look to it, but looked like they maybe were going to do it in the movie with your boy Michael Jai White.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where they took the characters and they actually made them into real people as opposed to trying to bring that character to the screen.
Right.
You know, Scorpion wasn't this former ninja who was brought back from hell. He was a man who was like a Yakuza or something by the look of him.
Yeah.
You know, and it gave a really different feel. And those quick clips, you can still find them on YouTube. I forget exactly what they're called. But
yeah, it's like Mortal Kombat something. I can't remember.
Mortal Kombat something. It's got Katie Sackhoff. It's got Michael Jai White. I don't remember any of the other actors off the top of my head because they weren't really well known as far as I know. But it was really cool.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of premise to be very dark and very gritty. And probably would have been good. But it died on the vine, I guess, because you never really saw it again. But a lot of them try to do these weird adaptations that just don't work.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what kills them. I think they just don't. It's tough because you want to see them create a new story, but you kind of don't want to see them create a new story. And you want them to create a new story that's still rooted in the actual story from the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they don't do that, when they root it in a whole new, fresh angle, a lot of times it stinks because it doesn't relate to the game, and people who love the game look at the movie and go, there's nothing to do with the game, this sucks. But if you go too far to the game and make it so that the movie is basically the game now on the big screen,
it's redundant.
People are going, it's redundant. We've seen this already. Why would I want to watch this again? So it's just a tough one to do.
Yeah, it's a tough line to walk.
But I don't know that we'll ever really truly see a successful video game movie. Again, I hope works for Uncharted, but. Yeah. You know, until they actually get started on it, which I don't think they've done, you'll never know. I mean, looking at this list, you know, the most successful franchise is obviously going to be Resident Evil because, A, there's so many of them.
Right.
B, the first one wasn't bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't bad.
Right.
But the majority of the movies are terrible. They're just not...
Yeah,
they're not interesting to sit and watch.
Yeah, they get more, like, as you get down the line, they become much more Sharknado'd, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, we know that this is ridiculous.
Right.
But, you know, fans of the franchise are going to go. Like, I saw every last one of these Resident Evils in theaters. I saw them in theaters, opening weekend. You know what I'm saying? Because I just liked the franchise. It was fun. I like Mila Jovovich. I think I think she's good on screen as an action star. But it was just like, if you ask my honest opinion, am I going to say like, this is like the greatest game movie ever made? No, it still had a lot of, and basically what they were doing was recreating the games. It's redundant. Nobody wants to see the games again. We played them. And now that you've gotten to a point where these games are pretty much cinematic in and of themselves, When you take a movie or take a game that's very cinematic in its elements, like let's talk about the latest Tomb Raider that came out. It's cinematic in and of itself, and it's like there's a lot of potential for a really successful movie. It just depends on, for me, it depends on how you tell the story. It's like if you go out there and you basically recreate the game and put it on the big screen, it's not going to do well. Because people have already seen this. You're not going to get the fans. The fans already saw this. Because right. the cutscenes, if you line them up, is basically the movie. New people aren't going to watch it because they don't know how they can really get into the story, how they can really get into the franchise. Now, what I heard about Tomb Raider is that it was almost beat for beat the original game. It was the new reboot game. But they took some more of the supernatural elements out of it, which, in my opinion, makes Tomb Raider. That's what makes Tomb Raider. You know what I'm saying? You can't take out the supernatural elements. There has to be some kind of mystical supernatural aspect to it, because that's what makes the games interesting. That's what makes Laura's story so interesting. you know, because she's going head to head against these big supernatural threats, you know. For me, it's always going to be like, then you take something like Max Payne, which created Supernatural where it really didn't need to be. You know what I'm saying? Like they put in a whole supernatural element to this movie that didn't need to be there. Max Payne is a noir story, and it should have stayed a noir story. It doesn't have to be like a high octane action film, but those action elements help really, really do it. I've really felt like you get a character like Bruce Willis or Mel Gibson to play the lead character. Max Payne could have went on for a franchise. You know what I'm saying? Sure. As a legit franchise. And it does. It depends on when you tell the story. If you're going to make a game that's going to have an origin story, and then we're going to build on this character's stories throughout the telling of the games, then you have to decide how you're going to tell this. So if you know you're going to make a game and your goal is to have this game adapted to film, then the mission has to be to develop the game and the movie simultaneously. The origin story should be the movie. That should be the movie. That's what everybody gets introduced to. And basically it serves as a big advertisement for the game's following. And then whenever you create another movie, tell a different story, but within that universe. You know what I'm saying? That's the way that I feel like it's going to be successful. I think that's why I'm kind of like leaning on Uncharted, because what they're doing is they're telling their origin story. They're telling their origin story, and they never really told it in the games. We got little hints and flashbacks, but we never got a full focus on Nathan Drake as a young guy coming up. So basically we're going to get that movie, get everybody interested into the Nathan Drake character by getting actors like Tom Holland involved in it. And you really put some time into writing this story and developing these characters and really caring about these characters, because Uncharted as a franchise made its claim to fame by almost coming off like a movie. The advertisers advertised it as a cinematic masterpiece. You know what I'm saying?
So, and they are.
Yeah. And so it's like, if you're going to do that, you're going to tell the origin story, tell the origin story, tell it well, get people interested into the franchise in and of itself. And then when you're moving forward, when you tell another movie, when you bring another movie up, you're going to have to tell a different story than what you already showcased in the games, because nobody's going to want that redundancy. They want new. You know what I'm saying? So you got to keep them engaged that way. And this is where all of these movies, I feel like, have failed. I'm looking at this entire list. Mortal Kombat. See, fighting games are different, because Street Fighter is the only fighting game that I know for sure the characters' stories were thoroughly developed for the game. They even came out with anime and movies for this game, like animated movies for this game. You know what I'm saying? So the story is like pretty much spelled out for you. It's the same thing with Mortal Kombat. They give you the backstories to these characters, but then it's up to you to kind of develop where the movie goes. You know what I'm saying? So fighting games will do much more. Will sell a little bit better than, you know, an action game, like a game where you progress through a storyline linearly. You know what I'm saying? You do something like Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, you're stuck because you have to tell that story that you already told as an origin. So it's like you have to make the choice. Hey, I want this movie to be an origin story. We're going to do the movie first, and then we're going to develop the games. And then any other movies we tell after that are going to tell other stories in between the games, after the games, around the games, something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel like each one of these guys kind of got it, but never really pursued it. And so they all fail. You know what I'm saying? Because even what was that? At number 36, In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale. It's like within that world. But it wasn't like that movie was not engaging at all. Like, I had no idea what was going on. And then the fact that the title was just like freaking long, I was like, nah, I'm not doing this.
Well, and to kind of go with what you're talking about as far as like the origin side, part of what you run into with a lot of these is you've got all the people who've never played the game who have no idea what the origin's about. You've got all the people who've played the game who know what the origin's about. Where do you go in the middle to make people happy? If you don't tell the origin for a movie, people won't go to see it because they won't have any idea what's going on.
Right.
But if you do tell the origin, people who already understand it, they don't want to go because they don't want to see the origin all
over again. Right.
So you're kind of in a rough spot, you know? And then they do stuff like Need for Speed. Like, who wanted a Need for Speed movie? Like, not even to be an ass, but who really wanted a Need for Speed? And I'm not a big racing game guy, but what I understand, it's just a racing game, right? You're just driving around in cars the entire game. There's no story to tell from Need for Speed. So why would you take the title of a video game and turn it into a movie, not just make a whole new movie? Call it something different.
Yeah. Because, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like that, if I remember, that's what Aaron Paul, I think, was in the Need for Speed movie. And it was supposed to, you know, he was.
And Kid Cudi was in there.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's like, yo, if you're going to do that, make sure that there's no other franchises to compete. Like, Fast and the Furious already exists. We don't need Need for Speed. Right. Sorry.
But, you know, I think the most telling of all this is if you look at this list of, how many is it, 30, 40-some movies?
Yeah.
There's, what, half a dozen Pokemon movies in here?
Yeah.
And the highest one is fourth on the list. You know, Pokemon is still, somehow, one of the most popular things in the entire world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The TV show is huge. The games have been huge. How are the movies not huge? Like, what does that tell you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, and from what I've seen from the commercials for these movies, I've never seen one, but it looks like they're basically just 2 hour two hour versions of the cartoon. Like
right.
1 2 hour long episode.
Yeah. Like, and they for all intents and purposes, they're kids' movies.
Yeah.
So.
But it just doesn't hit. So you gotta step back and look at that and go, maybe people just really don't want this.
Right.
Instead of just keep throwing money at these things, hoping it's gonna stick, because not a single one of these is stuck. They really haven't. You know, just because they have seven or eight, you know, different sequels doesn't mean the movies actually hit. Yeah. They make their money, sure, they probably make the money back, but none of them are great by any stretch of the imagination. And the fact that the number one on this list is Lara Croft's Tomb Raider, the Angelina Jolie version, that, I think, says it all right there.
Yeah, pretty much. How does Super Mario Brothers get as 27? That should at least be 2 or 1.
Have you ever seen it?
I'm just joking.
That's why it's a 27.
Oh, wow. Man. Yeah, that was a horrible film.
Like Silent Hill, the original Silent Hill is one of the creepiest, scariest games I've ever played. And it's only scary because it's all like implied.
Yeah.
But it's creepy and scary. How you make that into a movie like the abomination they created.
Yeah, that was rough.
I don't understand. Because the video game gave you everything you needed. All you need to do was expand on it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know that you'll ever see a solid video game to movie translation. You know, oh God, House of the Dead is on this list. That was one of the worst movies I have ever seen in my entire life.
Oh man, remember Double Dragon? Oh man.
No, I never did see that.
Oh my God.
I just remember House of the Dead was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like even continuity wise, it was terrible. Besides the writing, you know, like the look, spoilers on a however many year old god awful movie, you know, 2003, so 15 years old. But the end of the movie, these six kids who have been petrified of, I think, zombies for the entire movie, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden turn into Green Berets with advanced weapon training. And they're doing flips and they're blowing heads off. And but they're in the middle of a field. And, like, I will never forget, the one girl has, like, a machine gun. Then they do this weird close-up, like, slowdown to her where they pan around her. She's standing still and the zombies are all around her. And they're doing, like, a weird kind of motion pan. She's holding two completely different guns.
Oh, wow.
That cuts, goes back to her. Now she's got the machine gun back in her hand again.
Wow.
Like that kind of stuff. And
that was somebody's senior project. That's what
it is. Awful. It was UV Bowl. That's what it was, which basically is somebody's senior project. So. Yeah, so it's just, they're just terrible. I don't even know Postman Pat as a video game, let alone a movie.
I know, right?
Of course, it only made $1,500, so it couldn't have been that good.
Yeah, when was this? This was 2014?
2014, a movie made $1,500.
Wow. It was released, how many? Oh, see, look at that. It was only released in two theaters.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Blood Rain is on this list. Yo, there are some. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, what are you starting with? Like, some of these games were horrible to begin with.
Yes. I didn't know there was a Ratchet and Clank movie.
Yeah, that was basically a big advertisement for their new game. So
look, the Hitman movies, perfect example.
Yeah.
How do you not make a successful Hitman movie? How hard? John Wick is essentially Hitman without the brainwashed Hitman. Like, how do you not figure that out? I don't understand.
I don't know, man.
I don't get it.
Yeah, so.
What do I know?
Well, those are our thoughts on the video game adaptation curse and why these movies just aren't really popping. So, you know, if you guys got any comments, you know, we'll let you know at the end. But yeah, send us a note. Tell us what you think. Tell us what games you think should be adapted. I personally think Legacy of Kain, that series deserves some screen time.
That would be, it might be a little beyond its time, unfortunately, but that would make it fantastic.
Yeah. And I think that plays in its favor because that game was so far off. Like, it's got to be like 20 plus years, maybe more.
It's got to be close to that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So now it's time. Like, everybody's going to look at this material as new. So basically all you have to do is just, you know, tell the story the way it was told, add what you need to add on there. You have a great franchise. So
it would work. I think it would work.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's it. So we'll probably give you guys some information at the end. You know, send us your comments. Tell us what you think. Tell us what games you think need to be adapted. Cause I'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
Next up, we're going to do something a little different. Each podcast, I want us to just, like, me and the professor will just tell you what we're geeking out about currently at the moment. And this way we can get you guys some new material out there if you want to, you know, get interested in some things and, you know, just get him, you know, pick up something new or try something new. We'll tell you what we're geeking out about and you can check it out. So, what's up, Professor? What are you geeking out about this week or the past couple weeks?
I think we all know what my geek is permanently for currently. You know, it's that movie coming next Friday. That's the one I'm waiting on. You know, but I guess if I'm looking for something a little different, you know, of late, Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Nice.
I wait for every single week because it's such a fantastic show. It's so corny and so over the top, but it's so perfect for that franchise. Like, that's one of the shows, one of the only shows I wait for, you know, week in and week out. I don't have a whole lot else that's going on right now as far as games and stuff because there's not a lot of new stuff kicking around just yet. You know, TV wise, the most of the WB shows I'm still into. Flash was amazing this week.
Yeah.
Arrow was very good last week. Can't wait for that tomorrow night. But not a whole lot more than that right now, to be honest with you. What do you got going?
All right. So I got a couple things because being on vacation, I had to occupy my time with something. So I was reading like a madman while I was on vacation and picked up a really great book that I am so into, the world right now. It's called Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. And yo, when I tell you, like, there's books that I got excited about Harry Potter for years. This is like setting up to take that spot for me. So I don't want to give too much away because I don't want to spoil the book for anybody out there who wants to read it. But just think about just specialized abilities belonging to certain tribes and a lot, like almost like a loss of the, this kind of classic world where you have this feel of like a mix of Avatar, The Last Airbender, Black Panther, and Harry Potter all kind of just like rolled up into one. It's just, it's a really good story.
I can't even remotely picture that.
It's a really good story. Like that's the only way that I can really describe it for people to kind of like get a feel for what it is. Like if you think of like the system of Avatar, but the environment of like Black Panther, Wakanda, you know what I'm saying? And okay. Just like the magic that's created in Harry Potter, just how you get so close to these characters and just want to know what's going on with them. That's the type of feel that this book gives me. So, you know, normally we're out here, we're geeking about TV, movies, and games, but I got a little book for you guys to read. So check it out. Children of Blood and Bone, Tomi Adeyemi. It's a really great book. I also been picking up The Rise of the Black Panther. So the new Black Panther comics have been released and they've been coming out slowly. Still being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates and some others. But I mean, the story, that they're rebooting the entire story. So they're taking you back to day one. You start off with T'Chaka and you just kind of like watch as we get to T'Challa taking the throne. And it's the way that they rebooted this franchise is just so refreshing. I can't wait for the next issues. Now I'm looking forward to they do some name drops of Fantastic Four. So now I'm trying to check out the new Fantastic Four comics. It's like, it's just a bleed effect, man.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, those are the two things that I'm geeking out about. Right now. So yeah, check it out.
Very cool.
Yeah. So no reviews for this week. It's been a little break, so we're getting close to season finale time, so we'll probably have a ton of stuff for you guys next week. We'll talk about the series that we watch in its entirety, the season finales, and just how we felt about the seasons. And we'll talk about the renewed seasons and what we expect for the stories. So we'll save that for then. So that's it. That is it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, YouTube, The Boss's Desk. And we also have this podcast up on both Google Play and iTunes. So subscribe and get regular updates from us when we release new episodes. If you have any questions about anything in the show or any news items, or you just want to make any comments, you know, we just did the geeking out and we did, we talked about video game movie adaptations. If you want to send us any replies or comments about those sections, just send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com or tweet us at @thebossesdesk. And we'll get your questions, we'll get your comments, and we'll bring them up in the next show. So, that's it for us this week, guys, here at the Boss's Desk. So we will see you next week. Later.
See ya.